How's everyone doing this morning? Good? Awesome. Great to have you here this morning. We especially want to welcome you if you're visiting with us. And we've been going through the book of Daniel, and we're going to wrap that series up today because next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, believe it or not. We're starting our Advent series next week. It's called The Songs of Christmas. If you read through the Christmas stories in the Gospels, you'll see a lot of it is in song. And so we're going to look at different songs that people sung during the Christmas story in the Gospels. We're going to start next week looking at Mary's story. And so I want to encourage you to be here for that. But we've got a good word today as we look at a very familiar story in Daniel chapter 6. But let me pray, and then we'll look at that together. Father, thank you for today. This is a good day to be here. Thank you that we can be with your people. Father, thank you that you're a God who cares for us, who loves us. Thank you that you're a God that's committed to us, a God that wants us to walk with you. Father, thank you for this story in the book of Daniel. I pray as we look at this very familiar story that it won't be so familiar that you can't speak into our hearts. God, I pray you'll speak into our lives. May your word touch our hearts this morning. And as we walk out the doors in just a few minutes, may we walk out different than we came in because we encountered your spirit as we heard your word. And so, Father, bless us this morning now as we listen to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Daniel chapter 6 is a very familiar story. If you grew up in the church, you heard this story for sure in Sunday school. It's the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And now, normally in Sunday school, the story is something like this. Daniel's a young guy, and he goes in his lion's den, and the lions are more like kittens than lions, and he ends up using them as a pillow. That's a picture from a Sunday school story of Daniel. Of course, we know that the story was nothing like that. Daniel was 80 years old at this time, in his 80s somewhere. He probably went into the lion's den with a walker, and the lions were not like that. I don't like cats, but I got a lot of respect for lions. I mean, they're pretty ferocious animals. And so we're going to look at an amazing story of an old man who went into a den with those things and came out alive. And as we enter the story in Daniel chapter 6, we see that Daniel is serving under a new king. He's now serving under King Darius. Darius was the third king that Daniel served under. Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, they've both come and gone, and now Daniel's serving under King Darius. Something interesting for us to note there. Kings and their kingdoms changed. Do you notice that? Daniel's there. He's faithfully serving God and serving God's kingdom. He's serving the kings that come his way. But through it all, there's three kingdoms: Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and now Darius. Three kingdoms come and go. But Daniel kept serving his God and his kingdom. And folks, we need to remember that in these days, right? That we need to keep our eyes not on man's kingdoms, but on God's kingdoms. Because God is our king. And we need to keep our eyes focused where they need to be. And so here's Daniel. He's serving under King Darius. And King Darius had appointed 120 satraps. They were leaders that would lead the kingdom. Over them, he appointed three administrators. Daniel was one of the administrators. They were to oversee the satraps. But Daniel did such a great job that King Darius wanted to appoint him to the number two position in the whole kingdom. So it'd be the king, it would be Daniel, the two administrators, and then the satraps. The other leaders didn't like seeing Daniel succeed. They wanted to pull him back down. You ever experienced that in your life? You're getting successful and people are trying to pull you back or hold you back? That's what was happening to Daniel. And we see in verse 4, that the administrators and the satraps went out looking for information on Daniel. It says this: the administrators and the satraps tried to find ground for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. The other leaders tried to dig up dirt on Daniel, but he so faithfully served his God, he was a man of such integrity that they couldn't come up with any dirt on him. Now understand, the administrators and the satraps, these are powerful people. They would have the ability to send out spies to find dirt on you if there was any dirt. And so they send out these people, they try to get dirt on Daniel, but there's none to be found. Daniel was a man who was consistently faithful and loyal both to his God and to the kings he served. He was a man of such integrity that they couldn't find anything on him. You know, I was thinking this week, what if my life was examined like that? Would I come up like Daniel came up? Would I come up clean? Do you live your life with such integrity that you would come up clean? Well, one of the things we need to remember as we seek to live as Christ followers in the 21st century, as we seek to be people of impact and influence in the 21st century, it's this, that our faithfulness, our integrity, and our loyalty all matter. Daniel teaches us that. If we want to be people of influence and impact, remember, your integrity and your loyalty and your faithfulness matter. And so here are these leaders, and they can't find any dirt on Daniel, so they come up with another plan. Look at verse 6. So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce a decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. The suggestion the satraps and the administrators made was, "Hey, king, how about nobody can pray to anybody or anything but you for the next 30 days?" They're playing into his ego. They're trying to give him an ego boost. Look how important you are. People can only pray to you. And he loved it. And so he made the decree and he signed it. Thus, for the next 30 days, no one could pray to anyone but King Darius. Now you need to understand, as you probably heard in the verse there, that the law or a decree, when it was made, was irrevocable. This was irrevocable. So how was Daniel to respond? He hears about this decree. He's not allowed to pray to any god but King Darius for 30 days. What was he going to do? Because Daniel, you see, would always go up. He would open his windows and he would pray openly and publicly directed towards Jerusalem. How would he respond? We had a few choices. He could have taken a break. He could have said, "God, I've been praying for 80 years. I'm taking a break. See you in 30 days. He could have kept his windows closed and prayed silently and privately. Or he could do what he always did. Open his windows, pray publicly, openly, and risk death. What would you have done? If you were Daniel, what would you have done? If someone said, maybe you say you pray publicly in a coffee shop every morning, and someone came to you and said, "You're not allowed to pray publicly in this coffee shop anymore unless you pray to the great Starbucks God. And if you pray to anybody else, we're going to kill you." How would you respond? Would you pray to the Starbucks God publicly like you always have? Would you pray silently while you drank your coffee? Or would you take a break? What would you do? Let's look what Daniel did. Look at verse 10. "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he'd done before." That's such a powerful verse. When Daniel learned about the decree, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. There he got down on his knees and he prayed just like before. He staked everything on his God. everything. Now remember, Daniel didn't know how the story was going to end. Daniel was in the middle of the story. Daniel didn't know he'd be a Sunday school lesson for centuries to come. He had no idea how things would turn out. All he knew was that for 80 years, God had been faithful to him, and so he was going to be faithful to God no matter what. How did Daniel get such a deep faith in God that he was willing to stand strong in the face of death? How do you have such a deep faith that he knew there was no option but for him to go and pray as he had always done? Well, in part, Daniel's faith was developed on his knees. Kneeling to pray gave Daniel the strength to stand strong. Daniel could stand before people because he knelt before his God. Kneeling before God in prayer is one of the most powerful postures a human being can assume. When you kneel before God in prayer, that is a position of reverence, of dependence, of humility, of surrender. And while Daniel developed his faith on his knees, we often do something different. You remember earlier? Daniel faced a crisis. What did he do? He prayed right away. He got on his knees and prayed. Here Daniel hears about the decree. What does he do right away? He prays. Daniel faces a crisis. His first response is to pray. Often, what do? We hit a crisis in life, and we do everything we can do. And when we've done everything we can do, we then say, all we have left to do now is pray. See, for Daniel, prayer was the first resort. With us, it's often the last resort. And we need to learn from Daniel. We need to learn from Daniel that when we face a crisis, the first thing we should do is get down on our knees and pray. Listen, when life gives you more than you can stand, kneel before the God of heaven in prayer, and he will then give you the strength and the power to stand faithfully. Let's go back to verse 10. There's something else I want us to see here. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Whenever Daniel prayed, he instinctively knelt in the direction of Jerusalem. And the reason was his mind, his emotions, his will were focused on the promises of God that were symbolized in that city. Jerusalem was the city of God. And Daniel knew that his future lay there in the city of God, with God and his kingdom and his promises, not in Babylon with human beings and human kingdoms and human values. And folks, again, as I mentioned earlier, we need to remember that today. The kingdoms, human kingdoms, will come and go. And we need to keep our focus on our God and his kingdom and his promises and his values because they are everlasting. Presidents will come and go. Prime ministers will come and go. But God will endure forever. Let's make sure we're focusing on the right kingdoms. Let's make sure we got our eyes placed in the right place. Because if Daniel doesn't teach us anything, it teaches us that God is sovereign. So these leaders anticipated what Daniel would do. They knew Daniel was a God follower. They knew Daniel was a man of integrity. They knew Daniel was going to go back up to his room and pray. They counted on that. And so they all gathered under Daniel's window. And Daniel prayed, and they saw him praying publicly. And they knew he was praying to God. So they went to the king, and they reminded the king of his decree. Look at verse 12. Now, did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. And then they broke the news to the king. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. The king was devastated. He liked Daniel. Daniel was a faithful servant to him. Look at verse 14. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. The king spent the rest of the day exploring every avenue he could to set Daniel free. But at the end of the day, again, the decree was irrevocable. There's nothing he could do. So Daniel had to go to the lion's den. Verse 16, so the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Now, we don't know what happened in that lion's den. We don't know if Daniel cowered in the corner. We don't know if he fended him off with his walker. We don't know if he barked like a dog to scare him. We have no idea what it went on down there. What we do know is the king had a lousy night. He couldn't eat. He didn't have his usual evening entertainment. He didn't sleep well. He was a wreck. And then the next morning, it says in verse 19, at the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, the servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? In the morning, the king goes to the den and he says, Daniel, are you okay? Has your God, whom you serve continually? Daniel, I've been watching you, and I see that you serve your God continually. Little tangent here. Always remember that when people know you go to church, they're watching how you live. You represent Jesus to the people around you. In your school classroom, you represent Jesus. In your workplace, you represent Jesus. In your neighborhood, you represent Jesus. In your family, you represent Jesus. You represent Jesus to the people around you. There is a responsibility to being a kingdom person. We need to understand that wherever we go, we represent Jesus. People are watching how you live, and how you live speaks to them about who Jesus is. There is a responsibility to being a follower of Jesus. Never forget it. Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the idols? Now look at verse 21. Daniel answered. I'm sure the king was glad to hear his voice. May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then Darius issued a decree. Listen to this. Verse 25. Listen to these words. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and the peoples of every language in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. Daniel was a man of impact and influence because Daniel was not some wimpy churchgoer, but was a man of God. He was willing to stand courageously and boldly. He laid it all on the line, said, I don't know how this is going to end, but God's calling me to pray publicly. And because Daniel got down on his knees and prayed publicly and trusted in his God, the entire kingdom was told to worship Daniel's God. Folks, that's influence and impact right there. Have you ever thought that the same thing could happen today? That if a church became a modern-day Daniel collectively, and stood boldly and courageously, served with grace and love, that an entire city, an entire province could be called to worship their God? You go, that can't happen. Happened right here. In a place where they chop people up all the time. You notice that? But it happened here. Right here. In the Bible. Right here. One guy said, I'm going to stand boldly and courageously because I believe in God. And when he did that, an entire kingdom was pointed towards God. Never, ever underestimate the influence you can have on your family, in your school, in your workplace, in your city and beyond when you decide to become a modern day Daniel. God wants to raise you up. He wants you to stand strong for Him. He wants you to love others with amazing grace. He wants to work through you to make you into a person of impact and influence. Listen to the rest of the creed. For He is the living God, and He endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and He saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. What an awesome story. You know, we started this series a few weeks ago asking a couple of questions. We asked, how can we be in the world but not of the world? And we asked, how can we be people of impact and influence in the 21st century? And as we've journeyed through the first half of the book of Daniel, we've learned some crucial lessons from the kings, from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and of course from Daniel, on how we can be Christ followers in our culture. But I think as I've thought about all the lessons we've learned, that there's one lesson that stands head and shoulders above all the rest. There's one thing above all others that allowed Daniel to excel at studying Babylonian culture, that allowed Daniel to stand firm and say no to the king's fine wine and food, that allowed Daniel to risk it all and interpret the dreams for two kings, that allowed Daniel to pray publicly, risking death. Daniel was able to do those things because he was committed to God and His ways above all else. And because he was committed to God and His ways above all else, God's presence and power was in his life. And that presence, that power allowed Daniel to stand and courageously and boldly stand before kings and others for his God. Daniel's power to impact his world came from his relationship with God. And here's the cool thing. It says in the Bible that God is the same yesterday and forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what that means? The God that empowered Daniel, you know what it means? He can empower us. That same God can empower us. What He did in Daniel's life, He can do in your life, in my life. If we want to be modern-day Daniels, if we want to be individually people of influence and impact, if we want to be a church of God-honoring, God-glorifying influence and impact, then we need to have a dynamic relationship with God. Daniel had a relationship with God. He was committed to God and His ways above all else. And because of that, the presence of power of God was in his life. And that empowered him not only to stand boldly and courageously, it also empowered him to have influence and impact. Listen, cultural transformation begins with personal transformation. We must be walking humbly with Jesus if we want to be people of impact and influence. We need to be committed to Jesus and His ways above all else. Are you? Are you ready to be used by God? Are you ready to be a person of impact and influence? Are you ready to become a modern day Daniel? Are we ready as a church? to have that kind of influence and impact? Are we ready as a church to be a modern day Daniel? Are you willing to become a Daniel? If you are, then I would say today you need to make an all-out commitment to Jesus. Maybe for the first time you need to make an all-out commitment to Jesus. Maybe you need to re-up with Jesus. Go, Jesus, again today, I want to make an all-out commitment to you. What does that look like? I think practically a few things. I think it means every morning you start your day with your hands and you say, God, I surrender this day to you. You're the king, I'm not. I'm after your kingdom, no one else's. You're my king. I'm going to walk into the day with you. Empower me as I go into this day. I think an all-out commitment to Jesus means we're on our knees in prayer before him, humbly surrendering to him, depending on him. I think it means we read the word personally and allow the Holy Spirit to use the word to shape and transform us so we can be people of impact and influence. I think it means we commit to living by his ways above all else. In other words, where God's word is clear, we say we're committed to that. That's how we're going to live, and that's what we're going to be about, and we're going to stand boldly and courageously on that. God wants you to be a modern-day Daniel in your area of influence, your workplace, your school, wherever. He wants this church to collectively be a modern-day Daniel. Are you willing to make an all-out commitment to Jesus? We're going to take communion. The bread symbolizes Christ's broken body on the cross, the cup, his shed blood on the cross. When Jesus hung on the cross, he not only reconciled himself or us to God, allowed humanity once again to have a relationship with God, but the cross screams to us of love, of grace, of sacrifice, of commitment. The cross also calls us to a commitment. It isn't a one-way deal. The cross calls us to be a committed people. And so as you take the bread and you take the cup, I want to encourage you this morning to make an all-out commitment to following Jesus. As you take the bread, as you take the cup, take those symbols as a sign that you're making an all-out commitment to follow Jesus. That you're saying, yes, God, I want to be a modern-day Daniel. Let me read you a couple of verses again from Darius's decree, and then I'll pray, and then I'll hand it over to Rick and the servers. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in heavens and on earth. That's the God we worship. That's the God that wants to empower you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this book. The book of Daniel is an amazing book. Thank you for how it encourages us and inspires us, and thank you for how it challenges us. God, we need to make an all-out commitment to you. Father, today we need to say we're all in to being who you want us to be. We're all in to following you. Like Daniel, we want you to empower us. We want your presence in our lives so we can be people of influence and impact, so we can stand boldly and courageously when we need to. God, I pray you'd make us into modern-day Daniels. I pray you'd make this church into a modern-day Daniel church. And so, God, as we take communion now and we reflect on the cross, we reflect on your love, your sacrifice, your grace, your commitment to us, may these symbols, as we take them, be our response to you. And as we take them, may we be saying, yes, we're in, all in, to following you. In Jesus' name, amen.